This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Joining us, former Met BT. I don't know if you know this. He was one of my guys back in the day. I had the 30. I had the Mets jersey, Cliff Floyd number 30. I wore it to Game 7 of 2006 postseason. Cliff Floyd joining the show. What's up, Cliff?
What up, fellas? How y'all feeling, man?
Pretty good, man.
What's up, man?
What do you think about this Mets team, Cliff? We referenced 2006. A lot of people are saying this is the best Mets lineup since 2006. You were obviously on that team. Where do you stand with the Mets going into the year?
I think they're going to thump. I really do. I think they're going to hit the ball, obviously. I think when you look at, you know, every team having adversity start the season, this is a little bit much, right? Starting pitching-wise, losing your starting catcher. Those are all things that, man, those for me, Carlos is going to have to really manage this year and figure out, you know, some different things as opposed to being able to sit back a little bit and let this team play out. He doesn't have that luxury. When you lose key guys like they've lost early on, you know, we always say some guys have to step up, and I do believe in supporting cast stepping up. But this is a hard loss for your starting rotation. I think the bullpen will be fine. You know, and look, Soto, yes, he's amazing. He's dominant. He's going to do so many good things to help this lineup as far as, you know, not just 30 and 100, but as far as, you know, going deeper in accounts, trusting all these things. He's going to help them in that facet. But you can't put all, you know, the responsibility on Juan Soto. That's just not fair.
No. And it's not. I mean, Lindor was great a year ago. Vientos, I want to get back to him in a second. Pete's going to probably bounce back with some big numbers. Listen, the Mets should mash yours. Would you say thump? I like that. A little thump. There you go. A little thump. I get a little old school thumping. So when Sal brought you on, he referenced the 06 team and the 2006 team and how good that offense was. Now, specific to what you just said about the starting pitching, what Mendoza's got to do, don't you think on some level we need to adjust to how we view starting pitching? Because I don't want to say it's not important, but it doesn't seem like it's as important as it was back in the day.
I agree. And I can't put my finger on that because I believe you need starters to go deep. I think when you think about how do you get to the end of the season and try to, you know, and go get the chip. How do you get the championship ring, you know, in your city is through starting pitching. I've always believed that my whole life. Now, look, things have changed, right? Like, I'm not this dinosaur sitting saying that things don't change. Analytically, things have changed. I get it. But what I'm saying is, you know, starting pitching, there has to be an accountability and responsibility to go deeper in ball games. I don't think you can just keep relying on relievers to come in at some point and hope these guys can get, you know, crucial big outs in certain situations. We've seen that fails at times. Starting pitching to me, I'm a big guy on that side of it. So I think you need a lot of it. I really do. I think you need 6-7, you know, guys going into the season. So if you lose one or two, you still feel good about it because everybody needs the for the mental side of it. when you walk through those doors, you need to feel good about who's going on that bump that morning, that day, that, you know, that evening. I think you need that more than anything. And, you know, some teams are high on it, and some teams I think are just sort of like, we'll be fine.
Like the Mets. So with that being said, Cliff, where do you think that they rank in your mind in the National League East going into the year?
I think they're obviously they're going to be in the hunt. What do they rank? I think right now they're second to the Phillies. You know what? And the Braves are not at full strength. I don't think the Braves are really what we thought. You know what they were before. But I do think that, you know, when you look at where the Mets are, you have to get healthy, and they can ill afford to lose anybody else throughout the season. That's how I see it.
Yeah, no doubt. So, Cliff, you were I loved watching your hit as well. I just loved your approach.
And he was the man, dude.
I loved the
personality,
swing, man.
The swing, yep, all of it.
It's Uncle Cliffy. It's what we call him, Uncle Cliffy. So you know what awaits for a young hitter who really impressed a year ago like Vientos. Can you verbalize, tell us exactly what he's going to have to adjust to and how the league's going to adjust to him?
First off, I love this kid. I had a chance of being around him in camp. We did the 30 and 15. He's anxious to go out there and prove that he's this good. And the one thing I love, and I'll tell you this right off the bat, is he was a sponge to Lindor at around the field, in the field, understanding responsibilities of like not just being a good hitter. I think we know he's going to hit. He just has that makeup. But can you be an all-around player? Right? Can you field? Can you not be out there, you know, as a liability coming off the field and losing that last at bat because you can't play defense? So for me, he understands that. He put a lot of work in this spring. I talked to him for about 15 minutes. You know, he just wants to be great. And I told him, don't put the pressure on yourself to go out there and do something you're not capable of doing. Just be you. Just do what you can do. And you know, in due time, you're going to be fine. You'll be all right. This game will beat you up, and it's going to beat you up consistently, you know, but you got to take it. You know, you know, bright lights, big city. You know how New York can do. It'll tear you down. So, you know, you got to weather that storm and not look over your shoulder and wonder who's coming if you should not make a couple plays when you should.
How difficult is it, Cliff, for a young player like that who has success year one, kind of out of nowhere, to then follow up on that? Because now everybody's expecting him to be kind of a star, a young star in the game. But going into his second year, how difficult is that facing the challenges and changes that he may face throughout the course of his second year?
Yeah, you know, you can't worry about everybody's opinion about you. You got to the challenge of that is, to your point, is the pressure we put on ourselves to go out there and try to be some, you know, be great or try to be the player that somebody is telling me I need to be. Like when I fail on me. I'm failing because I put in the work or I didn't put in the work. I'm failing on that side of it. The one thing he has to worry about, and I always say this to every young player I talk to the adjustment. And then when you think about that part, the league is adjusting to you, then you adjust to them. You don't go away from your strength, though. The strength of who you are, you perfect that, right? So if I perfect what I'm really good at, then I can always work on what I'm not. So, you know, I can go in the cage and do all, you know, I can go in the lab and work on that down in the cage and do all those things. But what I know I can do, I'm going to perfect that. And that's how good he is. That talent that he has is that good.
I love him, too. I don't disagree. It's BT and Sal, by the way, Studio 42. We're at the MLB Network, which is great. Of course, today is Baseball Eve, and we've got Cliff Floyd with us now. A little later, we've got Ryan Dempster, Mark DeRosa, Al Leiter, getting you ready, Mets and the Yanks, BT and Sal on the Fan. All right, so you talk about the starting pitching. We hit Vientos. We know Lindor's a stud. We know that Soto's amazing. We don't have to really go too deeply into that.
Yeah.
But if you don't have great starting pitching to start, I don't love the defensive alignment of Pete, who's...
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. Beatty might be playing a lot of second base. We'll see if he can make the transition. And Soto has a good arm, but is a little sloppy in right. Is the right side defensively good enough for this team?
That's going to be the biggest challenge. I really do believe that. And I don't, you know, I can't say for sure because I hate speculating. But, you know, when you think about the pressure that Beatty put on this team by having a really good spring offensively, they have to find a place for him to play, right? So you're trying to figure out how on the fly, which is the toughest thing to do for anybody, you're trying to figure out, you know, is it a good fit? Can you make the plays that you have to make? But you can't give out any, you can't give up any extra outs. You know, I think Pete has done a better job. He's going to field the baseball. He's not going to beat you up. You know, and I'm going to be honest with you guys. The biggest question for me is Soto out in that big right field? Like, you know, is he going to be able to handle, you know, because I've been critical on him about his defense at times. I've been a guy that's talked about, you know, Soto's defense. Can he be the all-around player? I know how, listen, we all know how great he can be. It's not about the money. It's just about what we see with our own eyes. Like, can he be a game changer for your team? Yes, he can. But can he hurt you? Have we seen him hurt his team in the outfield? Yes, we have, in smaller ballparks. So this City Field's a different ballpark. The right side of the field, I think they'll be able to handle this challenge. But it's left to be seen if Beatty is getting more playing time at second. You can't expect him to go out there and just right away figure out how to make, you know these defensive changes, even though the shift is not a part of the game. I don't know if the shift would help him or not if he was able to play a little bit more deeper into right field, so on and so forth. So yeah. Time will tell.
Cliff, what are you expecting from Pete Alonso this year?
A monster year. You know, Pete stayed the course this offseason. I was a little worried for him. I can't lie. I was like, man, you don't want to be behind the eight ball in this. We've seen it happen numerous times. Guys get down to one or two teams, and now you have to take a deal you don't want to take. I felt like Pete said, hey, I'm coming back here, and I'm going to prove why I'm a New Yorker, and that's why he's there.
In the three hole though, you like that?
I don't mind them there. You know, this is the thing about the game. When you see superstars kind of adjust a little bit and understand the importance of driving in runs, like I'm not worried about Pete not, you know, missing opportunities or trying to hit a three run homer in certain situations. I think he's become mentally, I talked to him in spring. He's like, look, I want to be better in situations where I'm a run producer and not a slugger. Now, that's coming from his mouth. Now, that's something that you have to think about as a player and understand what you can do for this team and help them.
Boy, I was going to say real quick, that's a big adjustment mentally. And
oh, yeah.
I mean, but you can commit mentally to it, but what's the physical commitment to that when you're actually in the box?
The biggest thing is understanding, you know, what the pitchers are trying to do in certain situations. Sometimes you leave the on-deck circle walking up and you outthink the situation. You outthink what's going to happen. This guy on the mound is bound to make a mistake, but you can't go up there 0-1 swinging at the first pitch in the dirt and giving him that luxury that we need as hitters. You have to let him make the mistake. And that's the one thing, you know, when you say challenge, you have to buy into that. You have to legit say, hey, you know what? I'm not worried about that pitch right off the black that the umpire might give him, because that's not my pitch. I'm good enough to fight. And yep. That's the one thing I think Soto's going to help these guys with and go, hey, look, guys, you know, you don't want that pitch. Oh, I know the umpire called it, but you don't want that. And so now you have to believe that you can be in this box and get the job done without having to get the perfect pitch and hit that ball at the ballpark. I think, you know, a little base hit to right field will start to sort of get that mindset right. Because when you watch the Dodgers, the reason they win so much is Freddie, yes, he can hit a three-run homer. Yes, he can hit a walk-off. We get that. But can he take that ball to left center gap that we've seen Freddie do so many times to help that lineup? That's what makes him that good.
Cliff, you were one of the guys who showed David Wright the ropes in the big leagues when he first came in. How much credit are you taking for him having his number five retired this year out in July at Citi Field?
Oh, man, you know, that hits the heart different, fellas. Y'all know that, right? And I took no credit. I never patted myself on the back. I just felt like when I was in Montreal, Marquise Grissom, Larry Walker, Randy Milligan, these cats took me under their belt, man. It was like, look, dog, this is what we're going to do, right? This is what you're going to do. You're going to get to the ballpark early. You're going to make time for yourself, and you're going to come here and work, and you're going to be done in the cage before we get down there, right? You're done. Your days, you worked your tail off already.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing I told him. And I knew from the first time we had a conversation, I was like, man, this is going to be a breeze. He leaned on me, but he never was gonna fall on his face. I never had to pick him up and dust him off. I just felt like he had it from day one, and it was easy. I'm looking forward to July 17th. He's dealing with it differently, right? Like being at home is different. He gets a chance to get away every once in a while, but you know, the kids, the wife, the whole shebang. I was like, hey, bro, you might want to do something else, dog. Like, you have to figure something else out.
Get out of the house.
Yeah, you got to get out of the house a little bit, bro.
Start playing golf. Start doing something.
Something, man. I'm telling you, you can play paddleball, something, pickleball, paddleball.
Cliff, you think he'd be a good coach?
That's a great question. Do I think he'd be a good coach? Absolutely. Do I think he's going to get away for that? No. I don't think, you know, I mean, from my conversations with him, I don't think he's there yet, but you know, things change, man. Like, you know, like when you start seeing guys manage, like when I see Albert Pujols, I had a chance to go play golf with him last year, and he's talking like he's anxious to do it. You know, you start thinking about who would be great at it. Would he be great? I think so, but I don't see him doing it.
You're gonna be out there for the retirement ceremony that weekend?
I can't wait. I planned it out. I'm flying in early. I'll be there. Like, you know, we had the same agent, so I'll be there with my agent. Like, this just takes us all the way back. I'm going to stay in the back, man, and just, you know, take it all in. But I always say, you know, everybody, every dream, every ball player, you know, is to be, you know, as great as you possibly can. I think the icing on the cake is, you know, obviously winning a championship, but like, if you don't get that, you know, Hall of Fame, retiring numbers, those are all icing on me. I mean, to have this type of, you know, moment and memory to cherish for the rest of your life, I mean, what else can you ask for?
Nah, it's going to be a great weekend honoring the captain, David Wright, of course, number five, like you said, July 17th, or that weekend there, the 18th, 19th, 20th, out at Citi Field. Cliff, we love you, man. Thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it.
Always, fellas. Hey, let's have a great year this year.